Escape, a shipment of mute fate, July 07, 1950. Tired of everyday routine, ever dream of a life of romantic adventure, want to get away from it all, we offer you escape. Escape, designed to free you from four wheels of the day for half an hour of high adventure. Tonight we escape to the tropical harbour of Ventsalia, the story of a grim voyage of impending death. We started from there, as Martin Stone tells it in his exciting story, The Shipment of Mute Fate. Chris. I stopped on the wharf at La Guerra and looked up at the gangplank. Toward the liner Chancery, standing there quietly at our moorings. The day was warm under a high tropical sun. The harbour beyond the ship lay drowsy and silent, but all at once, in the midst of those peaceful surroundings, a cold chill gripped me. I shivered with sudden dread, dread of the thing I was doing, about to do. But it was too much had happened to turn back now. I'd gone too far to stop. Wooden box set on wooden wharf. Chris. I set the box down on the edge of the wharf, placed it carefully so as to be in plain sight. Within gunshot, the captain's bridge, I turned and started up the gangplank. Footsteps of gangplank. Chris. I knew what I was going to do, but I couldn't forget a certain pair of beady eyes watching every move I made, eyes that never blinked and never closed, just watched and waited. Chris bumps into Willis. Willis, oh, Chris, pardon me. Willis, you've startled me, sir. Didn't hear. Oh, right, Mr. Warner. Chris, hello, Mother Willis. How's the best looking stewardess on the Seven Seas, Willis? Well, there. I'm fine, Mr. Warner. It's nice to see you again. Willis turns to walk off, but is stopped by Chris. Wait a minute. That's a fine greeting after 2 months, Willis. Well, it's just I'm so busy. Chris, I don't believe a word of it. Sailing's day's tomorrow. You simply avoided me, that's all. Willis, oh no, no, really I'm not. Chris, and now on the trip down from New York, you said it was your favourite passenger. Willis, but I'm only... Chris, here, that's what you're carrying. What's that you're carrying in your apron? Willis, oh, it's nothing. It's just supplies. Chris, supplies, huh? Let's have a look. Willis, oh, no, please, I... Meow of a cat. Chris, why, it's a cat. Willis, it's Claire. Clara, Mr. Warner, Mrs. Bowman, said I had to leave her ashore. I just couldn't. Chris, who's Mr. Bowman? Well, it's the new chief steward, Clara's. Been aboard with me for 2 years. I just couldn't leave her here, foreign country, especially if her condition's so delicate and all. Meow. Of a pregnant cat. Chris, oh, yes. I see what you mean. Well, hope you get away with it. Willis, you won't tell anyone, huh? Chris, not a soul. Matter of fact, Mrs. Mother Willis, if you don't get my way with the captain, you and I, they both end up smuggling. Captain, well, I'm most happy to have you aboard on the trip down 2 months ago, Christopher. I'm very glad you're coming along with us on the run back to New York. Chris, thanks, Captain Wood. There is one thing, though, Captain O. Chris, I'm having a little trouble with the custom man here, and I wondered if you... Captain, I can't do it, Christopher. I just came with your father this morning, told me he might have done it for you. If he could. He sent a request from New York, you know. Chris, yes, I thought he would. I wired him from upriver last week. Captain, well, I hated to refuse, but that's the answer to the question. Chris, Captain Wood, I'm afraid I don't follow you. That's a responsibility to the passenger, son. You have women and children aboard. On the liner, safe to passenger comes ahead of anything else. Chris, but with proper precautions. Captain, something might happen. I don't know that what, but something might. Chris, you've carried worse things, Captain. Captain, there isn't anything worse, Christopher. And any skipper afloat would bear me out. No, I simply can't take the chance, and that's final. Chris, final? It wasn't final if I could do anything about it. I hadn't come down here to spend 2 months on that stinking backcountry and be stopped on the edge of the wolf. 2 months of it. Heat, rain, insects, malaria. Gone clear in the pass. The headwaters of the rural Iwena Crow travelled for the country, where every step along the jungle trail might be the last one. Chris. Oh, Sanchez. See, Senor Warner. Chris, better tell the men to start looking for a place to camp. Be dark in a little while. Sanchez, see, Senor. Very soon we turn to river. River, camp on rocks by water. It's very bad country. Chris, it's very bad country. You've been saying that for 10 days now. Very bad country. Sanchez, see, Senor Warner. It is very bad country. Chris, I'll skip it, will you? For all the luck we had so far, it might as well be Central Park. Sanchez, Central Park? I don't understand. Chris, never mind. But if you don't find in something, natives started cries, scrambling. Chris, here, what's the matter? Quiet now, Sanchez. Sanchez, what's wrong? Sanchez, there is in the path. See, Bushmaster? Chris, Bushmaster, the deadliest snake in the world. Bushmasters. His Latin name was Leptorus Mutus. Moot fate. If you lay there in the centre of the path, an 8-foot length of silent death, curled loosely in undulant loop, ready to strike violently at the least movement. Here was the one snake that would go after any animal that walked. What a man, it lay there and watched us, not moving, not afraid, ready for anything. The spots of its colours stood out like a horribly gauled floor mat, lying in a brown background of the jungle, waiting for someone to step on it. That here is what I come 2,000 miles for, a bushmaster. Pistol shot. Nearby animals were at him, shot. Chris Sanchez. I don't want the snake killed. Sanchez, he no killed, Senor. He's gone, Bushmaster, very smart, very quick. See bullet in time to dodge. Chris, anyway, he's gone. Anyone we've seen in 5 weeks. Sanchez, do you find another? It's very bad country. Chris, well, lay off that gun next time. Don't shoot, do you understand? Sanchez, why say no shoot? You want Bushmaster? Chris, yeah, sure, I want it alive. Sanchez, Nubis and Jaro, Senor Warner. You tell me you want Bushmaster? But you say no? So you say no alive? Chris, you're getting $200 for it. So it's for third man? That is $200? What is $200? So when we go back to Caracas, Chris, I make it to 500, Sanchez. So it's like, we'll catch water snake, rattlesnakes, any other kind, but no catch Bushmaster. Moving off, we go back to Caracas. Sanchez, Chris Sanchez, I'll give you $1,000. Chris, it cost me $1,500. But 3 days later, Sanchez bought me a snake in a rubber bag. He's shaking so hard, the moment the thing had struck him. Sanchez, one thing you make sure, Senor Warner. No one turn him loose in Venezuela. Because he know I am the one who catch him. He know where I live. Chris, all right, Sanchez. I'll keep an eye on him. Sanchez, tell him in. He know you've pay me to catch him. All the time he watch and wait for you, too. You no forget that, Senor Walter. Well, no, because he no forget, not ever. Chris, well, after getting through all the trouble and danger, wasn't I going to let Pickett's ship captain to stop me at last minute? Alas, at least not as long as the cable was still in operation between the Quadra and New York. Well, it's a telepathic transition. Door closes, step, come in. Chris. Morning, Captain Wood. The boy in the hotel said you wanted to see me. Captain, yes, sure, that's right, Christopher. And I sit down. Chris, thanks. Captain, well, it seems you weren't willing to get matters to a stand the way we left them yesterday. Chris, I'm sorry to go over your head, Captain, but I had to. The museum sent me all the way down here. For it, I'm not going to be stopped by red tape. Don't you realise this is the only Bushmaster ever brought to the United States? Captain, well, if I had my way, oh, orders are orders. Got cables from the head office this morning. All right. So as you talk about precautions, Chris, I'll handle it any way you say. Captain, well, it's got to have a stronger box. Crate's too flimsy. Chris, it's stronger than it looks, Captain. A wire screen on the top. Hold a valve cap. But anyway, I brought a heavy tree chest this morning. I put the crate inside of that. Captain, oh, well, that sounds all right. Got a look on it? Chris, heavy padlock. It's fixed and lead or going to be propped open. A crack about unlocking it. Say it's got to have air, you know. Captain, but in dirty water, the lid stays shut. I take no chance. Chris, fair enough. Captain, will you bring the thing in my inside cabin where I sleep? Go and have it in the baggage room. They'll be able to know about it, understand? Chris, whatever you say, Captain. We don't know. We won't have any trouble. At all, it's only a snake. Doesn't have any magical powers. Captain, yeah, you know, Captain Christopher, a salt bush once in a zoo of crackers once, and in a glass cage with double walls. It never move. Just lie there and look at you as long as you stand in sight. Game man the creeps. Chris, I didn't know that you had a bushmaster crashing soon. Captain, they don't now. Found the grass broken one morning, and grass and the snake gone. Like Watchman's dead, and he never found out what happened. Chris, well, the watchman must have broken the glass by accident some way. Captain, the way they figured it, glass was broken from the inside. He sailed in 4 hours. Chris, into the Caribbean, perfect weather. The sea is smooth as an inland lake. Barometer dropped a little on the tire on the third day. Cleared up overnight. Left nothing worse than a heavy swell. In spite of the calm seas and pleasant weather, I became possessed with an ominous anxiety. Developing an obsessive fear of that snake. I stayed clear of the passages of pretty much. Got a habit of dropping into Captain Wood's quarters several times a day. Darvon closes 2 or 3 steps and stop. Chris, he kept the heavy box underneath his berth. I approached it quietly and shined my flashlight through the open crack. Never once could I catch the 8-foot devil asleep. Or even excited, he was lying there, half coiled. His head raised a little, staring at me, those beady black eyes, waiting. He'd still be like that when I turn away to leave. So that's Chris. Maybe that's what bothered me, that horrible, constant, watchful waiting. What in the name of heavens was he waiting for? Door opens and closes. Willis. Well, hello there, Mr. Warner. Chris. Oh, how are you, Miss Willis? Willis. Oh, my, but you and the captain spent an awful lot of time around his cabin. I'm beginning to think that, too, you must have some great secrets. Chris. Nah, nothing like that, Mrs. Mother Willis. I don't know about Captain Wood, but I certainly don't have any guilty secret. Over in foredeck, a liner backing a swell. Chris, well, she's running quite a little swell out there, Miss Bowman. Bowman, yeah. It's a little heavy, all right. Mr. Warner, guess a storm passed through the west of us yesterday. The glass dropped. Chris went, think it missed us then, huh? Bowman, yeah, that's what the mate's figures sure has stirred up some water now. Chris, it's that they've got half the passengers in their banks. Bowman, makes it great for the mate's department. 2/3 of them want the steward to hold their heads. Chris, they keep Bubba Willis so busy. She'll, hey, look at the size of that wave. Bowman, whoa, great Jehoshaphat. We're going to take it on the port bow. Hang on. Huge wave sweeps the foredeck. With a sigh, Chris. Wow, that was a freak if ever was one. Not another wave that size in sight. Bowman, you see them like that sometimes. Even a calm sea. I've got to get topside, Mr. Warner. That water probably did some damage to the officer's deck. Chris, yeah, I suppose. Hey, wait a minute. Bowman, yeah? But Chris, what did you say? Bowman, the wheel companionway was open on the port side. Bridge cabin must have been pretty bad taking a pretty bad smashing. Right below, something wrong, Mr. Warner? Chris, no, nothing at all, Mr. Bowman. At least I hope not. Chris, of course I knew it was only one chance in 1,000. A chance against a freak wave. Well, 1 in 1,002 had stumbled up the companionway along the passage to the captain's cabin. Door opens. Willis. Oh, come on in, Mr. Warner. Chris, remember Willis? Willis said, that mine, isn't this a cabin a mess? Trying to get some of these things out to dry. Chris, yeah, I just want to check. Where's the box that was under the captain's bunk? Where's all that? Well, just threw it out in the deck there. Chris, what? Where's, well, the deck over there slid it into it. It was all smashed. Chris, but the small box inside of it, what happened to it? Where's, oh, there were both splinters. Splinters, Mr. Warner, broke wide open. Chris, oh no. Chris, oh, why, Mr. Warner? You're white as a sheet. Chris, remember Willis, will you go and find Captain Wood? Tell him to come here immediately. Chris, well, of course, Mr. Warner. Going. I'll go tell him right away. Door closes. Chris, I pulled open the drawer, the bureau beside me. Drawer opens. And took out the captain's flashlight. Flashlight clicks. A loaded pistol. Drawer closes, slow footsteps around the cabin. The green. Chris, Mother Willis had left a mop standing by the door. Put my foot on the head of it. A snap of the handle. Wooden handle snaps. Chris, every move I made turned into slow motion. I could hear my own heart beating. Slowly I started to search the cabin. Chris, sudden heaps of clothing was scattered around on the wet, black floor. I punched at them, one at a time, holding gun cocked, the flashlight pointing along the stick. Nothing. I worked around the room, throwing a light into the dark corners, back to the desk under the bank. Wherever I turned, I could feel those cold, unblinking eyes at my back, watching and waiting. Using the stick, I pushed open the workhouse door and threw the light inside. Carefully poked at the boxes, junk on the floor. The snake was not in the closet. Inch by inch, I covered the entire cabin. Then I realised the horrible truth. Door opens. Captain. Mother Willis just told me, Christopher. Door closes. Chris, Captain. Captain, it's happened. Chris, that's right, Captain, it happened. Captain, see? You found the gun. We better start searching the cabin. Chris, Captain Wood, I just finished searching it. Captain, then? Women, kids, and that thing loose and bald, 1,000 places to hide. Heaven help us, Christopher. Captain, there's no use starting to blame anyone now, gentlemen. Don't call your officers in here to pass judgment. Thing's done and that's that. Mate, well, you're right there, Captain. Captain, what we have got to do is make up our minds how we're going to handle it. Bowman, it's to be easier. We didn't have to tell the passengers and crew, sir. I've seen panics aboard ship before, Captain. Yes, agree with you, Mr. Bowman. I don't quite see how we can avoid it. Mate, they've got to right to know. As long as that snake's loose, everyone aboard, same danger. They all ought to know about it. Chris, Captain Wood, that thing's 8 feet long. It can't simply crawl into a crack. Why don't we make a quick search of the whole ship before we spread any alarm? Captain, yes, I thought of that, Captain Christopher. Bowman, as far as I can see, the only place it couldn't be is the bowlers on the top of the galley stove. Mate, it might have crawled overboard. Captain, don't count on that. We got to assume it's on the ship somewhere. Mate, yeah, and that could be anywhere, in a coil, rope, or a pail of clothes. Bowing, yes, or another woman's birth. Some woman's birth or baby's crib. Mate, or even in, Chris, well, you said it. That bunch of us could be anywhere. We've got to do something. We've got to do it fast. Captain, all right, gentlemen. Think the best idea to follow Mr. Warner's suggestion to make a quick search first. Agree to that? Bowen, yes, sir. Mate, I do. Captain, then we don't just... But then, if you don't find it, we'll have to warn the passengers. Chris, Captain, we've got to find it. Chris, alone in dim package room, went through the fleeing movements as I had earlier in the captain's cabin, gun in hand, a flashlight in the other, poking into dark, every dark corner, behind every trunk, every box. Since there's no one in the baggage room, I could keep the gun cocked and ready. The rest of those poor devils are having to do the same thing, barehanded, all over the ship, as search went on. Woman, here now, Stuart. What on earth are you doing, rummaging through my cabin? Woman, just checking up, madam. Well, I'm quite sure you've nothing in here that has to be checked. Bowman, sorry, madam. Captain's orders only take a few minutes. Bowman, well, I've never heard such a thing. Hashish simply doesn't have any privacy at all. I've travelled on a lot of different lines. I certainly never heard of anything so completely high-handed before. Mate, I'm sorry, sir. I wonder if you would mind moving over to Berberail. I'd like to look through those lockers. Man, yeah, sure, go ahead. What's the matter? Do you lose something? Mate, no, just looking things over. Man, nothing in here but life preservers. Mate, yeah, that's right. Man, must be getting ready to sink the ship, huh? Gonna collect all these shots, huh? Gonna send us all to the bottom, huh? Chris, but one of us could find that deadly snake. Perhaps coiled in some dark corner with an outstretched long window seat, not one of us has caught a glimpse of that horrid head with its beady black watchful eyes. It is nearly dark when we met again in the chart room. Captain, well, gentlemen, there's no other way around it. We risked all the time we can. We've got to warn the passengers, mate. But how do we do it, Captain? Call them all together in the lounge, Captain? No, if we did anything like that, we'd be asking for a panic. Bowman, we'll get one, whether we ask for it or not. Captain, I'll pick a few men. Go for the cabin decks. Tell them individually inside their cabins. Watch for any that act like they might cause trouble, and we'll keep an eye on them. Hand the crew the same way. Mate, yes, sir. Bowman, right, sir. Captain, now, as soon as you've finished, arm all the deck officers and start searching again. Now, only chance of preventing a panic to find that snake. Chris, oh, a nightmare. A fellow grew worse by the hour. None of us slept. All the ship's officers not on duty kept on with an endless search. Passengers locked themselves in their cabins. Or bundled together on the lounges, knowing all the time that no spot on board could be called safe. Fear was a heavy fog in the lungs of all of us. Every light in the vessel burned throughout the night. Morning came and has brought no relief. Terror and tension mounted by the hour. Woman sobbing, whispering wildly, where's reassuring? Here now, Mrs. Crane. Go back to your cabin. Or the thing's probably crawled overboard anyway. Well then, hysterical. No, you're just saying that. You paid to say it. You don't know. Nobody does. Well, it's now. Everything's going to be all right. Woman, oh, if we only could get off the ship, they could fumigate it. Yes, that's what we got to do. We got to get off the ship with this, Mr. Bowman. He's going to jump. Woman. Oh, you don't, lady. Woman. Sobbing. Let me go. Captain. Come in. Nice work, Mr. Bowman. Nice work. Now get down to the cabin. And whatever you do, don't turn her loose. Stir frightened crowd. Man, I'm telling you, don't know where it might strike you. when you can't put it on a coat or move a chair without risking your life. Something's going to be done. Why? It might be right here in this lounge. Mate, coming in. All right, master. You better quiet down and take it easy. Man, take it easy. Huh? You're a great officer. Why don't you do something about it? A thing might be crawling around here right under your feet somewhere. Decided voices, mate. I said, shut up. You trying to start a panic? Man, I've got a right to talk. I don't want to start here. Now are you going to tell me what I... Chucking jaw, body falling. Chris, the second night passed. The morning came round again. A grey and drainy day, dragged by the laden hours. And night came down again. Third night of the terror. Again, every light burned. The whole ship seethed in the throes of incipient panic, crazed by a horror they never met on the sea before. Crew and officers alike were the verge of revolt. Passengers had orders. Held her in trance-like, huddled in trance-like stupor, ready to scream at the slightest unknown sound. Chris, at seven bells, I made my way forward to the truck and found Captain Wood bent over a desk. Door closes as it's entering. Captain, wearily, oh, hello, Christopher. Come on, sit down. Chris, on edge. I've got to be somewhere, Captain. Got to be somewhere, Captain Wood. It got to be, Captain. Well, I don't know. You could search the ship for 6 months and never touch all the hiding places aboard. Huh? If it can only hold out for 2 more days, we're being pulled. Chris, what's your home office saying? Captain, here's the latest wireless. From the, keep quiet, keep coming. Well, what else what can we do? You want a cigarette? Chris, oh yeah, thanks. Captain, here. How is it below, Christopher? Chris, pretty bad. Anything could happen. Captain, yeah, that's why I took the guns away from the men. Well, I just shot, but you have a riot on our hands. Chris, the whole thing is my fault. Captain Wood, that's why I can't forget it. Captain, oh, take it easy, son. Chris, if there was only some way I could pay for it myself. Alone. Captain, oh, now I know you how you feel. There's no one in your foot than mine or the men who's asked you to bring that snake back alive. Nobody planned this. Now look, Christopher, I think you'd better try get a little sleep. Chris, no, scoff, sleep. Captain, Mr. Bowman, made some coffee down the steward's galley a while ago. You better go down and get yourself a cup and treat, then rest for a couple of hours. Chris, rest? I can't rest, Captain. Christopher, not going to help any who stumble through to hatch. Half asleep and break your neck. Now go and get some coffee. One way or another, I've got to hold out for another 2 more days. Door closes. Steps under. Chris, the light was on the steward gallery. Coffee pot was standing on the stove. It was still warm, so I didn't bother to heat it. Pouring steps. Chris poured out a cup, carried it over, set it on the porcelain tabletop in the centre of the room. I started to light a cigarette. The door of the pan at the cupboard beneath the sink was standing slightly ajar, having a glance towards it. I dropped the cigarette and moved slowly backward. I found the bush monster. Chris, as I moved, the snake slid out the cupboard, a single sinuous slide, and drew back into a loose coil on the gallery floor, never taking his eyes off me. I backed slowly away, waiting for any moment for a deadly slivering strike. Now, how had he known it was me? Stayed quiet when Bowman was here. How he picked the first time in 5 days that I was without a gun. My hands touched the wall behind me. I stopped in terror. The call button, the button, door where on the far side of the room. I backed to the dead end. Dead end, I stared at Snake. Fascination, expecting any moment the ripping slash of poison fangs as cold coils tightened a little. Then there's still again 10 million years of evolution to produce this moment. Homo sapiens versus naturalis mutius. A man against mute fate. And all the odds were on fate. I knew then that I was going to die. Chris, I could feel the sweat run down between the wall and the palms of my hands. Pressing against it, my skin cooled and twitched the pit of my stomach was cold as ice. There's no sound of rush of blood in my ears. The snake shifted again, drawing into the tightest coil, always tighter. Why did the devil get it over with? Then for an instant his head veered away. Something moved by the stove. I didn't dare turn to look at it. Slowly it entered my line of vision. It was a cat. A scrawny cat, Clara, and Mother Willis asleep aboard and La Gartera. So menacing, threatening crowd of a cat. Chris and it back from the arch of every hair stood on end. And it moved stiff legged now, walking in a half circle round the snake. Bush must have moved slowly, kept watching the cat. He tightened, he's going to strike at any second. Fired a striking snake. Scrape as it recovers. Cat snarls, spits, and back to the low ground. Chris, he struck and missed. The cat was barely out of reach, but she was walking back and forth again. She was asking to die. Fired and recovery, snarled, spit, and back to growl. Chris missed again by the fraction of an inch. He was striking now without even going into full coil. Fired and recovery, snarled, spit, back to growl. Chris missed again and again and again. Always missing by the barest margin. Every time the cat danced barely out of sight of each. And each time it counted, she counted one precious spat of dainty paw, bracing her skinny frame with three stiff legs. And then suddenly, I realized what she was doing. But the recovery, snarled, spit, back to growl. Chris pushed back with Tari. The one strike was just an instant slow. In that split second, sharp claws raked across the spaniel's head and ripped out both the lidless eyes. The cat was deliberately binding the cat snake. Snarl, spit, we heard his phantom. Chris, he didn't bother the call now, but slid up after her in a fury, striking wildly but always missing. Every strike was a little slower than the last one. Till funny, as the snake neck stretched out the end of the strike, the cat made one leap. Cat howls most savagely. A thud chants and frantic scraping. Heavy snake in agony. Cat sustained growl is muffled. She's got a mouthful of snake. Chris and the snake. Her razor sharp teeth. Just back of the ugly head sink until they crushed bone. Both tooth and claw. She clung at the monstrous snake. Frailed and lashed. On the floor, striving to get those hideous coils around her, trying to break her hold, to shake off a slow and certain paralyzing death. The struggle slows, and Chris had gradually crept over him. At last, stilled his struggles forever. The struggle ends. Chris had took a deep breath for the first few minutes. Cat lay on her side of the floor, panting, resting with the fight just over. Well, she had a right to rest. There are many brave, beautiful alley cats that have saved my life, and me, well, maybe others as well. I just turned toward the stove. I suddenly became very humble. I knew at once what a small thing human could be really is. There were three reasons why that cat had fought and killed the world's deadliest snake. Meow of three kittens. Chris and those three kittens came trotting out from under stove and a shaky little legs. Three kittens with eyes bright with wonder, their tails stiff as pokers. Up on the decks, hundreds of passengers were bright, ready for news that the days and nights of terror had ended. Well, they could have waited a little longer. I pulled upon the doors of the cabinet and found a can of milk and saucer. Clink of a can of salsa, Chris. Then I dropped down on my knees on the floor of the gallery. In the summer heat, when the old sun beats down, the thermometer goes up and a new car's motor. I read the wrong bit, sorry. The end.